This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Feral
Audio. Not live from Burbank, California, it's the Podcast The Ride Very Merry Non-Denominational Holiday Special, featuring appearances from Sandy Duncan, Glenn Campbell, Art Carney, Nancy Kerrigan, Dr. Wunderbar, Secretary of Florida Catherine Harris, Henry Kissinger, Avery Schreiber, Sandy Patty, Don Pardo, James Cameron, Suzanne Summers, Jerry Van Dyke, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, time permitting, Santa Claus, and your hosts, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, and Mike Carlson.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, Very Merry Christmas Edition. I am Mike Carlson, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, as always, Jason Sheridan.
Hello, happy holidays.
And Scott Gardner.
Ho, 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 indeed. I'll second you on that. We're very excited. You can feel the holiday spirit in the booth. I can feel my mic stand tipping over, so it's one of you guys talk while I deal with this.
Yeah. So we're very excited because today is Christmas time, and it's a very exciting time because we get to revisit some of our favorite specials that take place at Disneyland with some of the most wonderful stars Hollywood ever had to offer, and we're going to poke around and, you know, have a little fun, goof around, and just enjoy the season.
Yeah, these were the Very Merry Christmas Parades were a big thing in my house, like, growing up. Like, we would wake up on Christmas morning, come downstairs, open presents and stuff, and it's like, now we gotta watch the Christmas parade.
I would halt the present process. I would happily put presents aside in order to go watch Mayim Bialik interview families from Wisconsin on the streets of Main Street.
John Stamos and Henry Kissinger are in Epcot.
Is that real? That sounds real to me.
No, that's not real. Well, there are pictures of Nixon and Kissinger in Epcot.
Nixon is all over the parks.
Well, Nixon is all over the parks, but not at the Christmas.
Right, not at Christmas time. Nixon was not allowed in Disney at Christmas, but he was during the regular season.
He made a brief appearance as the ghost of Christmas yet to come in a very in a lost Disney Christmas.
The
carol.
One like wearing the hood, so when he revealed his face, it was very, oh, Nixon!
Yeah.
Assorted surprise. There are a lot of, so we're talking about all these Disney TV specials, primarily the Very Merry Christmas Parade, which has been a tradition since 1983. And there are a lot of presidents in these. There's a big presidential presence from just the few that I skipped through. You get a Reagan, you get a Bush. There's one where you get Reagan and Bush, both of them. Bill and Hillary Clinton. So many presidents took the time aside to make appearances and address the Disney viewing audience
and talk a lot about the glory of the Lord.
Yeah,
which I don't know that. If did Obama show up in any of the later ones? It should also be mentioned these parades have like evolved over the years as like the media landscape has evolved. Like in the early days, they were much closer to like kind of a throw together variety special. I think I said in a text chain we have, I said, like, these were a lot more, like, loose and wild when people thought TV was trash. And now in the, as the 90s went on and the 2000s went on, they're a lot cleaner. Like, you can tell there's, like, brand integrity people making sure, like, all right, Neil Patrick Harris can do this, and he can be with Tinkerbell, but we're not really pushing Cinderella right now. Like, there's a lot, everything's, like, very clean and 40 minutes and perfectly edited and that sort of thing.
They're very glossy. It's very unlikely in a Very Merry Christmas Parade post-2005 that anything, like, interesting or odd will happen. As opposed to if you were watching the 80s and 90s ones, you'll see some, like, truly bizarre small talk from Regis Philbin that makes you question, like, you do that, you're a host professionally, and this is what you're saying to people on the street. He'll, like, put a microphone up in front of somebody and then not wait for the response and pull away immediately. Yeah. And, like, it's a little more live-to-tape feeling. Alan Thicke goes on riffs where he has no end in sight. He'll sort of get close to a sexual double entendre. They're sloppier affairs in the 80s and 90s, which is what I love about them.
They're unprofessional, really.
Yeah.
Like, highly unprofessional.
and appear to be actually live on Christmas Day, some of the segments. I mean, it says live. Like, now they just shoot it all. They've already started shooting, like, in mid-November for specials nowadays.
Yeah, if you, perhaps somebody listening has been to a Disney park in November or December and seen the signs that are up everywhere, like, we are taping for a special today, so be aware that you are on camera. I feel like I've been around for, like, in the periphery of a Stevie Wonder performance at the base of Sleeping Beauty's castle or whatever. They seem to collect these performances all year.
Always... Bruno Mars sings your favorite public domain Christmas carols.
That'd be pretty good, though. Again, that sounds real.
It does sound real. You can say a lot of these specials are wonderful time capsules of the year and era. They are from.
This year, Migos performing chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I'm nipping at your nose.
That sounds real. Did that happen?
Could be. You'll have to tune in this year and find out. Hey, look, they do get a lot of Hollywood's top performers. I listed just a few of who has been in these things. Well, now it's not a very impressive list once I'm looking at it, you know. But they have had Beyonce in the year of her height of relevance. Nancy Kerrigan performed a special holiday ice dance.
Oh, huge in the early 90s. Ice skating. Yeah, there was a special. That's the Bronson Pinchot one.
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know the rest of it.
There's a special where it's Bronson Pinchot both as himself and as, like, a heavily made-up Jack Frost character.
Oh, wonderful.
Who gives Snow White and Belle and Beast and Mickey and Goofy. Again, this would not happen now, all of these characters together. He gives them mission. Like, you have to go get this in this part of the park. But then he's also Bronson Pinchot with his niece. And seems like he's like, oh, come on, please, I just want to sit down. Like, that's the whole gimmick with the niece. And this is intercut with, like, footage of Scott Hamilton and Nancy Kerrigan, like, skating. Like,
oh, wow.
Figure skating at the height of its power.
She had the deal with Disney World, like, post her Olympics victory, although she, after all that, I don't think she got the gold. That's the thing, right? Tanya versus Nancy, Tanya didn't get anything. Nancy did not get the gold either, but she was triumphant ultimately after all that. That situation we'll hear about in the Margot Robbie movie. But she, like, isn't there something where she was on a Disney World float and she said, "This is so corny," on mic? I think that's a story I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, Nancy.
Yeah, yeah. She kind of threw Disney under the bus. Didn't know it was
sucks.
It was a hot mic. When you watch Nancy Kerrigan ice dancing for Christmas, just know she's faking it.
Mm. Yeah.
Those smiles are not true.
I was going to say, Tanya Harding, of course, famously had that deal with Six Flags post the incident and was on all of their floats for their Christmas parade.
Yeah.
She did a nice dancing routine with the little old man.
The Vengabus old man. look those commercials up. And for some reason, Henry Kissinger also there.
Yeah, Henry Kissinger. Well, he came to drag the Vengabus man back to hell.
His duties as Secretary of State oversaw all countries, including hell.
Including hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still part of your jurisdiction as a world leader.
We're going to have to keep a running list of who I've said is in hell now.
there was somebody last time. Was it Don Pardo?
Don Pardo and Don like Pardo a ride or like a show.
I think you said the company Go 90.
Oh, Go 90 and Don Pardo,
which is
accurate. In hell.
That's correct. Verizon's mm-hmm. Go 90. It's the only place you can watch it now. I don't know what else about this thing. Okay, so we're going to talk about some specials that are not the Very Merry Christmas Parade, but that became the kind of codified Christmas Day Disney special, and those have been hosted by a number of people over the years, but primarily Regis Philbin has been a part of it since the early 80s. First as a man on the street reporter, a sideline guy, and then ultimately up in the booth. You also get a lot of Joan London.
Joan London is all over these.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that are in the ABC family often, people mm-hmm. that are associated yeah. with the actual network, which would eventually Disney bought it in the 90s, but mm-hmm. they always had a sort of an affiliation with them.
Yeah. So that's the thing. These specials that we grew up loving and making our parents watch every Christmas morning are just like a hodgepodge of promotion of ABC shows and ads for Kissimmee St. Cloud. It is like pure propaganda streamed into your home, but we ate it up.
As a child, I was like, what is Kissimmee St. Cloud? Like,
can you explain it to me? Because I
believe it's just an area right outside one of the gates of the park. It's just a county or a neighborhood. It's just like, it was just an area that spent a lot of money on their tourism budget in the 90s. Like, there was a commercial with a target that yes. had arrows shooting at it, and I think it's just a bullseye that says
an arrow goes close to the bullseye.
Yeah.
Here's Disney World. Here's Universal Studios.
Here's SeaWorld.
And here's Epcot separately.
Yeah.
Discounted as a different thing. And then here, in the middle, Kissimmee St. Cloud, the final arrow pierces the bullseye. I remember this so strongly. I'm 6 years old and like, I need to go there. Get me to Kissimmee St. Cloud as soon as possible. It worked on me so hard. I'm doing a podcast about this shit still. That's how much this bullseye thing is in my brain.
And I think that'll be a lot of today's episode. It's a mix of our comedy brains going like, what is Jerry Van Dyke on in this? What is happening? And then the other half is just like, I sincerely love this very much. This is burned in my brain since I was a child. I don't even consciously remember it, but it'll pop up in my dreams or it'll surface in my subconscious.
It is just Kissimmee the most tender Cloud. Moment when Tommy Toon befriends the children and ushers them into Sleeping Beauty Castle. I just wept. I wept. There's so many wonderful moments in these things. And my overall point as we start talking about moments from these Christmas specials is for anybody listening who's already home for the holidays or who is heading home for the holidays, maybe got a lot of time to kill with your parents, with your family. You know, you don't get a lot of new holiday specials this year unless there's also a David S. Pumpkins Christmas special. I'm not sure how many new ones we're going to have in 2017. And how many times can we watch The Peanuts? How many times can we watch Linus Give the Speech? How many times can we watch the Christmas Story kid get his tongue stuck to the pole? I think it's time for some new holiday classics to enter the holiday lexicon. So I say, when you're home with your father, with your mother, with your nieces and nephews, whatever it is, say, you know what we're gonna do tonight, family? We're watching specifically the 1987 Very Merry Christmas Parade off of YouTube with commercials for Kissimmee St. Cloud because three nerds told me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who wants to go first, gentlemen?
Well, I will go first because it's the earliest in regards to the year.
Mm-hmm. And your special predates the Very Merry Merry Christmas yes. Parade, which started in 1983. You're going to talk about an older one from 76, correct?
Yes, this is 1976. It's called Christmas in Disneyland. So we're going to zoom through it, and I'm going to try to fill in the blank. So if I leave something out, let me know. But I'll set it up for you. All right, there's a couple kids, and they're with their grandpa, and their grandpa's played by Art Carney. Art Carney of the Honeymooners. That's mm-hmm. probably his most famous role, but he was a, you know, an old actor and was in a bunch of...
Academy Award winner for something else.
Yeah, something else.
Not sure.
Yep.
Let us know.
And he was a song and dance man. You know, he was one of those jack-of-all-trades entertainers. But in 1976, he is very elderly. He's playing a character named Gramps. That's what they call him. So they're walking around Disneyland, and Gramps doesn't like Disneyland, okay? Gramps mm-hmm. thinks this is kind of all bullshit.
Like Bronson Pinch show earlier, this is a running thing in a lot of these specials, is the guy who's not into the spirit, who just wants to find a bench.
Which is fascinating. Like, why would you advertise that? Why would you? Or is
in
it...
your specials dredge up that syndrome that people do have about Disneyland.
Yeah, when you get overwhelmed by, like, the heat and the noise and just drinking too much soda and... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would think, though, that they're sort of trying to tell the parents, hey, if you spend the day here, you'll, you know, I don't want to spoil what happens at the end of to old Gramps, but maybe you'll go through the same journey that Gramps went through.
Oh, boy.
You'll start out and you'll hate it, but by the end, oh, my God, your world has been opened up and you believe in magic again.
Whoa. Good for Gramps. Well, how does his journey play out?
So, okay, here, we'll start here. And this is just, you'll get a gist of sort of Gramps's mood.
Waste of time and money.
Come on, Gramps, I want to see everything.
You've seen enough. You've seen one tree, you've seen them all. I didn't want to come here in the first place. Sorry I let you kids talk me into it. Now let's get going. I've already missed a half day's business.
Missed a half day's business.
We just got here, and you promised us a good time.
A good time? I'll tell you what a good time is. A good time is working and earning money, not running around some park laughing and singing.
So Gramps is just he's a real pain in the ass. He talks about he missed a half day of business. He doesn't specify what the business is. It's just that he loves earning money, and that's it, and no fun.
Today, in 2017, he could be checking stocks or trading or whatever from the park.
Right.
But this was not the case at the time.
Right. It's like, I hate fun. I hate sunshine. And pollution is good. Like, this is Graham Gramps. I am the stereotypical angry man.
He didn't even have an internet cafe brought to you by Treasure Planet to go check his email at. That is made up, but could also be real.
Again, I thought that was real, possibly in whatever special you're going to be talking about.
There was definitely internet cafes at the...
Interventions must have had, like, previews of Prodigy or whatever. In 1997,
in the Dudley Do Right episode, I talked about the store that briefly sold Rocky and Bullwinkle merchandise, very quickly morphed into an internet cafe.
But Gramps didn't have this at the time,
right? And this is, by the way, they've also been in the park for maybe under an hour.
Yeah, they're like outside. They haven't even been in there. It's like outside. It's at the main gate.
They go in a little bit, and then they just come out, and it's like under an hour, and it's like, I don't know. Gramps is really being a dick. Like, he could have given it a couple hours. It doesn't make any sense. They didn't go on a ride. He's just like, no, we're not doing this.
Gramps should have loved that part of the park because it's an old-timey town. Like, he probably grew up in.
I agree.
What the hell, Gramps?
I know. So, okay, Gramps tries to leave. He tries to take the kids out, which, God, he's just a big pain in the ass.
Hope you had a good time with us today at Disneyland.
Everything was fine, just fine. Give my regards to Mickey Mouse. Tell me he has a nice place here. Goodbye.
Well, what about your kids? Did you enjoy it? I'm sure you would have loved it if we got to see it. But Gramps wouldn't let us.
He doesn't believe in having a good time.
I don't believe in your kind of good time. While we're on the subject, I don't believe in Christmas either. Or fairy tales, or talking mice, or dancing penguins.
Well, what do you believe in?
I believe in making money and minding my own business. I wish more people would. Goodbye.
Can you do anything, miss, so that we can stay? I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. It's a shame, too, but I have a feeling your grandfather would have won that prize money hands down.
pants down.
What prize money?
Well, oh, no. They give a prize at Disneyland for the biggest disbeliever, but you have to go before the head of the Department of Disbelief, you know, to see if you really qualify.
All right, so that's Sandy Duncan, a star of stage and screen.
Reading a first draft script, apparently.
So
have the characters say what they think and want. Say how they're different from each other. Embed it. It's your exposition.
So Sandy Duncan shows up, and she's wearing that like Mouseketeer like horse racing jockey outfit.
The old tour guides had like this riding crop and jockey hat kind
they,
of.
They still kind of do.
Yeah, the VIP ones.
It's like a weird. I was thinking it's sort of a weird like the Playboy Mansion had the bunnies. Like Walt must have had sort of a jockey fascination, maybe, and
kind
he was
of a,
like
a plaid thing. He's a
plaid man, perhaps
Scott style.
We'll get it. You mean you, Scott?
Scots people of Scotland.
Sure, sure.
But I'm into the riding crops.
And you refer to it as Scott style.
Yeah, let's,
we all,
you want to do it
know.
Scott style? Witch.
Pick your tartan. Pick your shade of plaid.
I'll tell you exactly where to aim. All right, pretend that's the bullseye, and my ass is Kissimmee St. Cloud.
By the way, I just Googled, and it just seems like the tourism website now is just Kissimmee. Seems like they changed the branding. There is still, like, St. Cloud. Like, St. Cloud is a I think it was just, like, towns. Like the Twin Cities are two cities next to each other. Like, it seems like it was just...
Was there a redistricting?
Like maybe, gerrymandering. Do you think gerrymandering affected the Kissimmee St. Cloud tourism budget?
Hard Trump voters, Kissimmee.
Yeah.
More blue.
After the Bush election in 2000 in Florida, I just think there's probably some funny business up down there.
Catherine Harris, right?
Yeah.
That was her.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine Harris. Another host of the Disney Parades, Catherine Harris. So, anyway, back to this unpleasant old man.
So.
Wish he had a chance to vote for George W. Bush, but he probably didn't make it that long.
I don't think he did. Sandy Duncan, so she lies to the old man and says there's a disbeliever prize that they award to the biggest disbeliever at Disney. And this guy falls hook, line, and sinker for it.
Ironically, believes.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Here are the titles. We'll do this first.
In Disneyland, starring Art Carney. Guest stars Glenn Campbell, Brad Savage, and Terry Lynn Wood, and special guest star Sandy Duncan. Christmas in Disneyland is brought to you by Post Raisin Bran cereal and Jell-O pudding. Post Raisin Bran, the cereal with so many plump, chewy raisins you get fruit right down to the last spoonful.
Uh-huh.
Post Raisin Bran, the fruit and cereal lover cereal, and by Jell-O pudding. Kids love pudding.
Kids love pudding.
That's that Mad Men era, golden age of advertising. You come up with slogans like "Kids love pudding."
It took him. It took a Don Draper-esque guy an episode's worth of angst and turmoil. He had to go to Palm Springs and fuck some lady.
Yeah, he got beat up in the left in the desert. Had to walk back to town and came back to a meeting with kids.
Like pudding? No, kids love pudding.
He left New York thinking it was just kids like pudding, and then came back from his odyssey with kids love pudding. I realized something on my journey.
Post Raisin Bran, too. Also a fun series. I love Post Raisin Bran.
And you love pudding, I assume.
And I do love pudding. I would clarify myself as both a Raisin Bran man and a pudding man.
Pudding boy.
Yes, I'm a Raisin Bran man and a pudding boy.
And a little pudding boy.
A little pudding boy. Very appropriate for Christmas.
You would have a glass of pudding every morning for breakfast.
Yeah. Why did I feel so bad at the start of every school day?
Figgy pudding. Every Christmas morning, figgy
every Christmas
pudding.
Morning.
Your parents kept up the tradition of foods that have stopped existing after 1911.
Yeah, we exclusively ate food from Christmas songs.
roasted partridges.
So they go underground and they meet Dr. Wunderbar. And Dr. Wunderbar is also played by Art Carney. And he looks like a Sid and Marty Krofft style Albert Einstein character. And they don't really address why he's there, but he's a kooky wizard and he has like a magic, he keeps talking about his magical screen where he can see everything in the park. And he's somehow in on this con immediately that they're fooling this old man. And they tell him there's a list. He has 10 things that there's 10 things that he cannot do by the end of the day. It's a little convoluted.
We're already in the world of the disbeliever contest.
Dr. Wunderbar was definitely gotten out of Germany by the OSS, like, secretly to help us build rockets, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
too crazy for the German government,
Too crazy for NASA. Disney picked him up.
Kissinger hired him.
He's a sleepy, kooky old Nazi, basically. So, like, they go down and they see him, and he's, like, he's sleepy. They gotta wake him up, and it's a whole thing, and there's...
Screw you,
I heard every word you said.
Dr. Wunderbar, we thought your office was always open.
Office is always open, that is true. It's never closed. Day or night, I'm on the job, wide awake and full of pep. What can I do for you?
But they don't address who he is, why he's there. He's not even a Disney character. Like, it would have made more sense if he was, like, you know, a witch or, like, a fairy from, mm-hmm. you know, one of the fairies from Cinderella or something.
Just like David S. Pumpkins, he's not even from something.
Yeah.
I'm so in the woods with Dr. Wunderbar.
So they tell him there's 10 things that he cannot do. As long as there's one thing that he doesn't do by the end of the day, he gets this prize. So it's like if he just believes somebody, that's taking off one of the items on the list. So like just having faith in someone. So he has faith in them by the end and they go, "Well, you've done one of them." And he's like, "Oh, you're tricking me," or whatever. But he has 9 more to go. So obviously it's a very convoluted. I don't want to bog you down.
Just show me the ride. Just show me someone going on the Haunted Mansion and then getting spooked. All I want out of my specials. Not too much plot.
Too much plot. Sandy Duncan then shrinks down and has a song and dance on Small World. Not going to show it. Right. Not going to play any of it. We're not going to. Have a fun time on Christmas.
Yeah.
Sandy Duncan also. By the way, we didn't explain Sandy Duncan, but she was like sort of. She's this like chipper, like 60s TV perennial who I believe was Peter Pan in some prominent version of Peter Pan. She's the kind of person my mom grew up with and who I am still disturbed by because my childhood had a lot of. I feel like I knew who all the Peter Pans were. Like my mom, I have to teach my son about Sandy Duncan and Mary Martin. And
I'm pretty sure I got a lesson on Mary Martin and Sandy Duncan as well, just because they were TV personalities and TV was king.
I have not been to therapy yet, but when it comes, I'm sure the first session I'll be getting a lot off my back about Sandy Duncan and Mary Martin. How it mixed me up as a child.
Sure. So
I spent a good amount of time talking to my therapist about theme parks. I'm not gonna lie.
Just like that they're great.
Yeah, usually positive, but also to contextualize other stuff.
Your therapist is like a listener of this podcast, just hearing news. So they're converting Paradise Pier into Pixar Pier. Like no problem is being addressed.
How does that make you feel?
Great. I'm very happy. Hey, this was a fun session. Here's $200.
So, Mike, is that all you have from this?
No. We still have the best part.
We're still on the first special.
I don't have nearly this much. My book report isn't as in-depth.
So, we're getting to the good stuff here, the real good stuff. Art Carney is not the only angry man in this. They meet up with Santa Claus, played by Glenn Campbell. And Glenn Campbell, as Santa Claus, is pissed.
Well, what seems to be the trouble, Santa?
Well, it's the elves. They're just not putting out enough stuff this year, and I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of disappointed children this Christmas.
Well, good for them.
I need some help, Santa. I saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs a while ago, and they were busy. I'm sure they'd love to pitch in.
Well, that would be nice. I can certainly use all the help I can get.
Nope, they're not elves. Doesn't count.
I'll meet you all at the workshop, okay?
And then he tells the kids that they're not going to get presents this year. There's like a good chance you guys won't get presents. And then that makes Art Carney mad. So they go and they recruit Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to just do free labor. First of all, Santa's a real dick here, obviously, because he doesn't explain why the elves aren't making toys. He's putting all of the onus on them for not actually making the toys. Like, There could have been a baby boom this year. That's why there's more kids that need toys. There should be some reason here. So it's a classic, like, evil boss putting all of the all of his problems on the workers and not taking any of the credit or the blame.
Being offered solutions but not pouncing on them. Yeah, I think it's Santa. Hey, the fish stinks from the head down, and I think this is Santa's issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we go, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they go help, and this is all shot like on the Alice in Wonderland ride in a very strange way. And there's just like, they set up a couple shops. They set up some tables where the elves are working. And Snow White is singing about how good this is. And you see, like, these lifeless elves, and they're just, like, hammering at half speed. And you're like, God, what happened to these poor motherfuckers? And you know, obviously, it's like Santa's the problem. So Snow White, they all go help, but it's not enough. So who has a skill in this group that could help make this situation better? It's clearly Gramps.
Are we up?
So basically, Gramps' solution to this is saying, hurry up to them. And this works. So he goes, I got an idea. Hurry up. Hurry up. So he
yells. Something Santa never thought to do.
Right. Santa never thought about this. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, we should hurry. And they do. And then everything is fine. And that was Gramps's contribution to this situation, so he is helped. And
why does Disney have to be involved in Santa and making toys? And how is this Disneyland's responsibility?
You know what? They don't really explain it. They don't explain why Santa's workshop is set up in the middle of Fantasyland. They don't really go into it.
I guess it adds up. The North Pole's kind of like Disneyland. Yeah, it's all just one-stop shop.
Yeah. So basically, after this, then there's the saddest song, and this will be the last bit. There's plenty more, but this will be the last bit. Is that Gramps basically lets the kids know why he's so sad.
Okay.
I've been dying to know.
I mean, he's very general, but there's actually like some character work being done here, is what I'm saying.
Oh, this is what Art Carney won the Oscar for.
You must learn never to trust anyone. You stick with me and I'll show you the ropes. When you two get to be my age, you'd be glad you listened to me.
Also, these kids are the worst singers.
All kids are the worst singers.
I am your age. Will life be sad?
Will I be grouchy? Will I be mad? Everyone who happens to come my way.
And will I say, love's not what I need.
Love's not what I need.
Just like, why work. Why was he sad?
Hold on. We get to it.
Will I be doubtful?
Or still believe in Santa Claus? And all of the things he does?
Hopefully not.
How will I go? Oh. That I am never told. Nothing to believe anymore.
It's nothing to believe anymore.
When I'm your age.
It's been easy for me. I think I enjoy the way I am. And this way because of what happened to me many, many years ago.
You never told us that story, Gramps.
I never told anyone that story. When I was your age, nobody cared. Nobody helped me. Nobody shared.
This is
not
too
even
sad.
A crust of bread.
Not even a crust of bread.
Nobody said, don't cry, little boy. To my little boy. When I was your age.
All right, that's enough sadness. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So this is, you will not find this in the last 25 years of Disney specials. Just bleak sadness, just a poor man who seems like he was an orphan as a boy.
So we just set up a world where, boy, I wish the specials are the way they used to be. Then we listen to Art Carney moan about never having a crust of bread. And today you would watch the Christmas parade and it would be like Carrie Underwood saying, Merry Christmas! Like, that's... why do we... Now I'm questioning why we want things this way. What's wrong with us?
Yeah, I don't know. It's more...
What does life mean. There is no joy. I guess I'm sad now that I'm old.
In the spirit of this special, my iPhone has like bricked in the middle of this. Like,
what?
Hooked my iPhone up to my computer and it says, "We see your iPhone's in recovery mode. Reset the factory settings."
Everything's going wrong on this episode.
My pacemaker stopped working. I'm dying.
Oh, no.
It's all going to shit.
So this is 1976 and it was an exciting special. And then, you know, at the end, he makes a wish, and then there's ice everywhere on Main Street, and they go, Mickey and Minnie go ice skating together, and then it's you know, it ends very nicely. But this is a wacky, weird special, and it is not that way anymore.
Yeah, hey, it was a big swing. I might declare it to be a miss from the brief moments that we've heard of it. Oh my God, what a yeah!
It gets This song is so sad. It's just so sad, and yeah. It's crazy that they would allow it on.
Does he end up have what's the end of the arc of Gramps?
Gramps believe at the end he finally believes a little bit and he gets told, like, he gets presents finally. The first time he mentions somewhere he's never gotten a present before, which kind of doesn't make sense because he obviously has kids because he has grandkids. So you would think somebody gave the old man a present at a certain point. But he makes the wish for it to be like snow and be ice in Disneyland. And they're like, we can't even do that. And then Sandy Duncan's like, oh, maybe if we wish really hard. And they, of course, wish really hard. And then it happens. So he gets to see Mickey and Minnie ice skating, which I guess was his dream as a child or something.
Yeah.
And then he gets presents from the characters.
When he watched them in cartoons, he's like, but I want to see him skate. I bet so. I got a feeling about these two that they'd be good at skating.
When he would watch a TV through a drugstore window as a child because he didn't have a home or a television.
Trying to spot on the shelves if they have bags of bread crust. Just the crust.
Just the crust, please.
He'd go buy a bag of crust for four nickels, try to make it last a month.
I think Gramps should come back, played by a new actor in one of these specials, but... That's what I'll be pitching to Disney when I go.
Character worth rebooting.
Yeah.
Christopher Plummer.
Sure.
Christopher Plummer is the new choice for replacing people as old crusty guys in movies.
Yeah.
So Christopher Plummer is Gramps. I'm excited for it.
And he'll be great at singing this song, When I Was Your Age.
I was sad. I was never happy. I was never glad. oh, boy.
All right.
All right. Well, that's our first miserable special.
Hey! Okay. Here's what I will say about mine. I don't have a ton of clips, and I don't have a clip of this song specifically, but I'm going to talk about the Christmas at Walt Disney World 1978 special, and I do there the clips that I do have are more on the depressing end, although not that depressing compared to the saga of Gramps. But let me talk about this special a little bit. Christmas at Walt Disney World 78, maybe the first Disney World Christmas special. It includes appearances from Shields and Yarnell, who are a mime troupe, a husband and wife mime troupe who were 70s variety show staples, and most of the special is them, which I will not play for you because mimery is silent. It won't translate on a podcast. But a lot of the special are these two mimes who are insanely creepy, if you can imagine that, and them playing different characters. You watch them go, they have sort of like that Blue Man Group vibe where like they're strange and inquisitive and they don't know what these human things are. So you watch them go from LAX to the Orlando airport, and then, you know, the baggage comes out, and they crawl out of the baggage. They got in the suitcase, because they're weird, they're mime people. They don't understand that you're supposed to sit on a seat, not be in a suitcase. Doesn't that sound charming?
Oh, yeah.
You want what
great.
I just said to play out over the course of 7 minutes?
Are they, is it called, like, the click-clack, the clackers or something?
I don't know.
Is this the same there's a special where like a robot couple goes to
yes well, this is the robot couple.
This is the robot.
yeah
okay.
They are similar to, although I would say less creepy than, Bernadette Peters and Andy Kaufman in Heartbeeps, but they probably get along with the Heartbeeps couple. They could go on
you
a double date with the Heartbeeps
with
couple.
The Heartbeeps couple.
I think they might use all of their secret genital compartments and have a good old time. There's also this sequence where if if that doesn't sound fun to you, a robot mime couple, there's a very long sequence in which these two grown adult mimes are babies in the park in like a respective blue and pink.
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Baby onesies, and they kind of crawl around. I mean, as soon as I saw that beginning, I stopped watching, so I can't recap the man baby part. It is something that it is clearly a mass of content that is only meant for fetishists. utterly disturbing. So, and yet I claimed that this special was less depressing than what we were just talking about. And here is why, because it contains one of my favorite sequences in any Disney special, and you can look up just this part on YouTube. Please just you at home, put in the phrase Pablo Cruz rocks Disney's Discovery Island. This is a delightful sequence in which the 70s band Pablo Cruz performs their hit song Worlds Away and over at the Seven Seas Lagoon at Disney World, which, if you're not familiar with that, is the big lake that's outside of the Magic Kingdom and surrounding the Polynesian contemporary hotels. The thing you forget about old Disney World is that it was this like water sports outdoor destination when it opened, something that I think was a lot more important in the 70s than like they needed to have that as well as the theme parks. So, you know, you had your golf courses and you also had boats and stuff. And this music video lets you see Pablo Cruz trying out all the different types of water sports. You're watching these these cool mustachioed dudes on catamarans and jet skis and paddle boats. And it's all set to this song that's kind of like a, I would describe it as a sub come sail away. It sort of has the like Odyssey aquatic vibe of Come Sail Away, except with like way less interesting sections. Like the solos are a lot more limited in their musical dexterity. That being said, this sequence is so charming. It's like, you know, there's split screens and the song is so for worlds away. And if you look this one up and watch it, just know that my like happy place, Scott Gardner's happy place in his head, if I'm feeling low, I just imagine that I'm in the Pablo Cruz Rocks Discovery Island video, just catamaraning around with the bass player. If you watch this sequence and you don't smile, there's something wrong with you.
There's a story in my family about one of the first times my parents went to Disney, and I hope I haven't told this before. My parents rented a boat for in the Seven Seas Lagoon. They rented two of those like putt-putt boats, mm-hmm. where, Mike, I know you've done this before. It's just mm-hmm. literally like there's a brake pedal and a gas pedal, or there might just be a gas pedal and you take your foot off. It's like an idiot-proof, like tiny little one or two-person boat.
You can rent a variety of boats and take it around Bay Lake, yeah. And yeah. So we would take out the little boats. And you would drive it around. The second to last time I was at Disney World, I drove it around and tried to figure out if I could get out of the boat and get into River Country.
the abandoned water park.
Yeah, because you can kind of see it. I knew where it was. So we like pulled up and I was like, I mean, I'm not a bad kid, so I'm not going to get in trouble.
No.
But I was like, oh, here's where you would park and pop. hop out, and I think I could make it over into the abandoned water park.
If you were...
If I was a bad kid, which I'm not. I'm a good boy. Rules. I'm a good kid.
So, yeah, so my parents rented two of those boats. My dad, in the middle of the lake, ran out of gas. So he's just stranded. My mom's like, all right, I'll go back to the dock, and I'll get someone to come out. So my dad's just sitting there in a boat, and then one of the boats that take people to the Magic Kingdom started coming right at him. And he's like, wait, like he's like, yeah, like I don't have gas, I can't do anything. And they realize it and like move out of the way, but he's still, they're still awake. There's still like waves from the boat, so then he gets like moored on the rocks. So then he's just sitting there miserable. It's the 70s, probably in polyester, just miserable on the rocks, waiting for a cast member in a different boat to come get his broken down boat. And that always, so that's why we never, when I came along, we never did any of those rentals.
Dark memories.
Dark, yeah.
It didn't go as smooth as Pablo Cruz's journey through
no,
the
sir.
Seven Seas Lagoon. I'm just like, but your dad, coincidentally, is named Pablo Sheridan, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Pablo.
Old
and his,
Pablo Sheridan.
Yeah, old Pablo Sheridan.
Yeah, but so another thing about this music video is that in addition to the water sports stuff, the band is performing the song next to like a little shipwreck set on the shores of Discovery Island. And Discovery Island, we've talked about a tiny bit on the show. It's this like abandoned former zoo that's an island within this Seven Seas Lagoon at Disney World. And once they opened Animal Kingdom, they abandoned this. They stopped keeping tabs on this old zoo and thought that they cleared a lot of the animals out, but they did not. There's still like some. There was like some urban exploration thing where people found like weird like vulture eggs like in
right.
the corners of these anyway what I'm getting at is like there's a part where a vulture features really heavily into the main shot of the singer of Pablo Cruz, and it you come out of it thinking like, oh cool, I should go to this island and go pretend I'm a pirate and hang out with these vultures. But like looking up the history of the vultures at Discovery Island, in 1989 Disney was specifically sued by the state of Florida for their poor treatment of the vultures.
Oh, the vulture oh no.
Yeah,
are
yeah.
you getting you know, to the shed?
Yeah. Apparently there was a time, well, first of all, the vultures like attacked people, like they attacked the other animals. They were not kept in check by Disney. And it's, at one point it was discovered that there was the vultures were just being kept kind of unruly in a big shed, and or maybe not a big shed, it might have been a small shed, and at one point there were 72 vultures all just kept in, which is so it's like something you'd run into in Donkey Kong Country. That's like a boss level.
The vulture
going
shed?
Into the old rusty shed of vultures and Donkey Kong having to punch them all out one at a time. Unless the vultures were gold, unless it was a bonus level.
And
where
you were
collecting
trying to collect
gold
them.
Vultures.
Yeah.
Now that I would like, but just imagine opening that door, a rusty shed full of vultures.
Wait, what? But isn't the ending of that was just like a sheet metal like shed and there was a heat wave and the vultures just kind of cooked?
Oh,
like,
God. Jesus.
Didn't they have to pay a significant fine because of a bunch of cooked vultures?
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Oh, we're trying so hard to steer this out of misery.
It's the most wonderful time.
You've got vultures for cooking. But, you know, back in 78, the vultures were just a fun part
of
a Pablo Cruz music video. And there were a lot of great songs in the 1978 Christmas at Disney World special, including one that is so notable, a song sung by an old character actor named Avery Schreiber, and he in this special exclusively plays one of Disney's great characters, Geppetto. And I'm going to play a couple of clips of this for you now. All right, so old Avery Schreiber as Geppetto is reminiscing on, I think he's finished reading a letter from Pinocchio, who I guess is not coming home for the holidays to be with Geppetto.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it's still a very nice letter, and it's making him look back fondly on happy Christmas memories with Pinocchio. So that sets the stage for this.
You hear that? He's still my boy. Pinocchio's a grown-up. He moved to America, but he's still my boy.
Is that canon?
It is now.
What a crazy wooden puppet I make, huh? What a man he has turned into. I remember Pinocchio when he was a little child. What a wooden head he was.
What a wooden head he was.
Every time I get a splinter at the work table here, I remember the time I gave him the only spanking I ever gave him.
What?
This is gonna hurt me more than it's a hurt to you. Boy, was I right.
It's also now, can now we know that it wasn't just in theory that Geppetto had to raise Pinocchio like a baby. He, like, spanked him and punished him, and as we're about to learn, gave him a bath.
Say, do you remember the time that I gave a Pinocchio the first bath? Oh, was he scared. He was so frightened.
He's telling this story to a wooden horse, by the way. Geppetto's just a crazy man in his work shed talking to inanimate objects.
But what's the water? I put him in it. He floats. A pop, pop, pop. Then I couldn't get him out. He gets all soaked. He gets the wood inside him. He gets twisted. He gets warped. Well, it wasn't funny then, but now we can laugh about it.
So,
what whoa! Hell?
Here's a nice bit of education for the holiday. Boy, the you know, forget about the story of Christ. This Christmas, reflect on the story of Geppetto giving Pinocchio a bath and him warping.
This sounds like he's like about to take a bunch of pills,
or they're on the way. They're kicking in right now, and he's having crazy false memories.
Or he's gonna get in the tub with a toaster.
Predates.
I make my newest son. This is a toaster. I'll just give this toaster a big hug and a bath.
Predates Disney's live action remakes. This Avery Shriver as live action Pinocchio.
Yeah, you think that Lion King with Beyonce is going to be fun? Give me, I want the full hour and a half tale of Pinocchio's first bath and first spanking. Ooh, ouch. It's at a splinter.
But again, this would never fly. This stuff would never fly nowadays. They would never let a precious Disney property, a beloved character like Geppetto
ramble on with like semi-improvised stories that you've never seen in any tangible Disney product.
He would not have been allowed to spank Pinocchio. That's out.
Mm-hmm. No, that's problematic.
Spanking is bad.
Yeah,
we don't get to hear about Lumiere having to the first time as a candle he had to take a shower and use a loofah which was one of his friends also an enchanted if you're an enchanted washcloth in the castle, I guess you just have to know you'd be used as a in a bath or shower situation for one of your friends. you got to do your part.
The darkest episode we've ever done. Does Pinocchio come back? Is it, he never comes back?
He shows up in a different plot unrelated to Geppetto in Disney World. He's in Disney World, although Geppetto is back in Italy.
Wait. But who's playing him in Disney World?
I think one of those mimes. I think it's one of them mimes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Which also is a sequence not worth discussing. Watching this, like, creepy little or perhaps woman. It might be a grown woman playing Pinocchio.
What is happening?
I don't know. You know, now that we look at, was this happening? not a correct idea to do? Here, I'm sure I'll only make it worse by playing this bizarre song. Geppetto is so lonely for Christmas because Pinocchio isn't coming home that he decides to make a new friend for himself.
Oh, no.
And we watch him pick up a complete puppet we can see as he's picking it up. And then he starts kind of pantomime banging it as if he's building a new one. But we already saw the finished puppet he was picking up. And here we go.
Today, I take some wood from an old tree. Don't you worry, Christmas tree. Today, I try to make it company. Today, I try to make Geppetto's clone.
What? Geppetto's clone, did he say?
Geppetto's clone. And let me skip ahead to what the hell he's talking about there. Aaron and I, also my wife and I at home, quite often, if one of us just like, hey, when is that happening? And we say today, then we there will always be a pause. We say, today, today. He repeats that so many times in this song. Also, I love that Geppetto's just losing his mind. Whenever he's not singing, it's just bizarre, unhinged cackling. So then here, let's cut to the end of the song. We get to see what puppet he's making, and I'll turn this to face you guys.
I give my love to you. I give my love
to me. Oh my God.
Fuck off.
Oh my God. He's making a puppet of himself. He's dressed in the same little vest. And same hat, same wig. And
Geppetto just turned around, revealing a puppet of himself.
Oh my God.
I give my love to me.
This is far more disturbing than the one I played.
A crew got together and made this, filmed it, built a set, built that puppet. This was in a time, now there's endless recorded media. There were only so many TV specials filmed in 1978, and one of them, like 70 crusty guys had to get together and film Geppetto giving his love to a puppet of himself.
Let me ask a question. If you were to keep playing it, does he start kissing it?
I believe so. Here, I'll just like, oh yes, immediately.
He does.
It took 3 seconds to tell that yes, he kisses.
Is it one kiss or is it like he's making out with it?
No, it's a sweet little kiss on the forehead. Oh, you look just like me.
Oh my God.
Oh, my dream of me coming into the room, giving myself a bigger hug.
Oh, all right, Papa Geppetto, this is a world of sin and it is time to cleanse the sinners.
From now on, Geppetto only have time for people who look like me.
We are going
the great cleansing will happen, and only mustachioed old man will exist.
All right, Geppetto puppet, we're going to the top of the clock tower. Now you watch that at the door, and I'm going to dish out the vengeance.
Anyone who's not an older man, they got to go.
You should have come home, Pinocchio. You should have come.
You could have stopped at this. Wanted a visit to old withering memory Geppetto.
Oh my God.
Cool. Well, should we jump to...
Geppetto carved his own gun out of from his workshop. Oh, hello, gun.
I wish a gun to come to life.
You are such a good gun. Mwah. Oh my God. Is yours fun, Jason?
Yes,
in
it
any
is
way,
fun. Can
shape,
we
or
jump,
form?
Can we jump to one of mine?
Please,
can we jump
dear
to the 1980s?
God, let's do it. Sometimes you discover while making an episode, you shouldn't have done this one.
All right. Like America coming out of the malaise that was the 1970s, it's time to jump ahead to the go-go 80s for the Disney Very Merry Christmas Parade 1988.
Yeah.
Which I believe my family, I believe we had this probably taped off of TV, and I would watch this on repeat because a lot of it seemed very familiar to me. So I'm going to start by just playing the opening, here's who's here credit, because I could do a whole episode just on the credits of these parades, because like I said earlier, they're like a perfect time capsule.
It's so exciting knowing which of your
years.
Favorite stars are joining you this Christmas morning.
Here we go.
From Walt Disney World in Florida, holiday greetings to all of America, Canada, South America, Europe, Australia, the Far East, and servicemen and women around the globe. It's the 6th annual Walt Disney World Very Merry Christmas Parade. Join our hosts Joan London and Alan Thicke, along with Regis Philbin, right here at Walt Disney World in Florida. And from Disneyland in California, join Sarah Purcell and family ties Scott Valentine for all the holiday magic and fantasy of a coast-to-coast Disney Christmas extravaganza. Share all the laughs and holiday cheer of a visit to Mickey's Birthday Land. Celebrate Christmas Caribbean style with Minnie and all her friends. Say hello to Oliver, Dodger, and Francis, and take a behind-the-scenes look at the making of Oliver and Company. Join family ties Scott Valentine as he previews Disneyland's great new thrill ride, Splash Mountain. Catch a sneak peek at the movie magic coming soon to the Disney MGM Studios theme park. All this and
everything
more is on its way.
Okay, so a very exciting year for the Disney company.
There's so much going on.
Opening.
It's the Disney decade.
Splash Mountain is opening.
Wow.
Mickey's Birthday Land, the predecessor to Toontown.
And Scott Valentine is there to cover
Scott
it all.
Scott Valentine is there. So Alan Thicke and Joe London.
Vibrant neon colors.
Regis Philbin, like we were saying earlier, Regis Philbin does Man on the Street in this, and there is a point where he's just going down Main Street, and he starts by like talking, where are you from? Are you having a good day? Like asking everyone where they're from, and like at a certain point realizes, oh, this is going to take too long, and he just starts shouting at people, where are you from? New Jersey, where are you from? Canada! Like, it's just people going down down the line. So some of the stuff previewed in that, and okay, the Caribbean Beach Resort. This is a very special clip. The Caribbean Beach Resort was new that year. It was just opening. Again, like I said, we had this special taped off TV when I was a kid. So the following is one of those things that it is burned into my mind. And I'll hit play and turn this around so you can see this.
Minnie is dancing on top of a float.
Flamenco routine.
Yeah, this is, there's a lot of dancers dancing to this popular song at the time. Especially Chip and Dale in very festive outfits.
And those little like flamenco sleeves. Those feathery, those flowery sleeves.
Yeah, this goes on for a while. So
imagine that pace for 4 minutes.
In the interest of fair use laws, I'll stop it there. But yeah, I looking through these specials, I had convinced myself that it was Gloria Estefan doing this. And while there is a lot of clips of Gloria Estefan performing at Disney World, she is not in this. But like, this is just a thing burned into my mind. People dancing around the Chippendale, dancing around the Caribbean Beach Resort.
As a boy, were you like, this is great?
I love that song as a kid. I love that song. I love Chippendale. So yeah, but this is essentially just a music video slash commercial advertising a new hotel Disney has built.
A new Caribbean themed hotel.
A new Caribbean themed hotel that did have a great pool. I remember my family pool hopping.
Is that the one with the slide that's the dragon's tongue?
No, I think that's a different hotel. I think that this is the one that looks like an old like fort,
and
there's
neat.
Like cannons and stuff. So, yeah, oh, cool. We would go there a lot.
Here's that earnestness. After hearing old men contemplate their lives, now let's remember when we were four and all we wanted was cool water slides.
Mm-hmm. just to come out of some animal's mouth.
I want to be spit out of a big animal.
Now,
can I just say also, with your fondness for conga.
Sure.
I had a very pleasurable experience 2 years ago when the last time I was in New York City, my wife Erin really wanted to see the Gloria Estefan musical, Get on Your Feet.
Get on Your Feet, yeah.
And there we went to get last minute tickets for that day's matinee. There were only two seats left, and they were reserved because they were a little more expensive. And they were, and the guy at the box office told us these are the conga seats, and it was it was pricey, but I had a feeling what that might mean. And indeed, at the end of Act One, the show stopping closer of the first act was conga, and before I knew it, my wife was up on her feet and in the conga line. She was escorted up by Gloria Estefan's father from the musical, and she's going up and down the aisle.
Terrific.
She's in the play.
Wow.
This was the happiest memory. I could not have been I had a feeling what conga seats was going to mean, and they didn't let me down.
Yeah.
Oh, what a time. If you're in New York, go see Get on Your Feet.
Get on Your Feet.
Unless it's not playing anymore. Yeah,
already.
It may have closed a very long time ago. There's no way to know.
Okay. So, again, in the interest of young Jason, a big part of this special or of this parade, a preview of Oliver and Company, behind the scenes of Oliver and Company, which, if I'm remembering correctly, was the first movie a young Jason would have seen in the movie theater.
Me too. The
wow,
same.
How about that?
So I have that, like, yeah, that very nascent baby, barely there memory, as full of holes and crazy as a Geppetto memory. I do remember being in the theater and watching Oliver and
it
Company.
It might be
very
mine.
Special.
I'm an old. a year older than you guys, I feel like, but I feel like it might be, it's one of the first movies. I don't know if it's the first one I saw, but it's for sure like one of the first three.
You might have been a great mouse detective guy.
I don't think I saw that in the theater.
I think I saw, was that before?
I'm not sure. Land Before Time was also in the mix. They were all, it's hard to know which one.
I'll tell you what else I saw in the theaters pretty, a year after this, Dick Tracy.
Hey.
A horrific looking movie to show a four-year-old. Anyway, Oliver and Company.
Uh-huh.
This is the big movie of the year. You know, there's another clip in the special of Jeffrey Katzenberg going like, you know, we're committed to making one animated movie a year and we're on track to do it. And
you know what those were? Those are the Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and all the best ones.
But this clip is real quick, and we'll post this on social media because this one's kind of visual and it's pretty funny. It's just very funny to me. So I'll play it for you guys to see, and then I'll describe what is happening.
Billy Joel was suggested real early on.
Billy Joel is in sunglasses.
At the time,
in a white
T-shirt.
Like,
Billy Joel. Yeah, he can sing great, but can he act? And then it worked out great. He could really act. He was really into the part.
Hey, keep it down, guys. The game's on.
Oh, boy, that's right.
Bette Midler.
That's it.
Really act.
It's just this very song. Just Billy Joel just grooving inside in a sound booth like we are, but he's got sunglasses on and he's grooving. And this very soft-spoken Disney animator just going like, yeah, he can sing, but can he act? I don't know why this is so fun. I'm just
Can I ask you to role play? Can I ask you to be Billy Joel in that moment? I'll just be the director of Oliver and Company. Now remember, you're great. You're great on stage. A lot of great stage presence. But remember, this part really requires you to act and really just emote and really just give it your all. And it's got to be huge. It's got to jump from the microphone onto the screen. Okay, so you think you're ready, Billy?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So really act, really do it, and action.
Come on, the game's on.
Oh my God. You can really act, sir. Thank you, Mr. Joel.
And
we are all weeping on the other side of the glass.
All right.
Stay cool.
All right, back to the Hamptons then. Yeah, I knew it'd be easy, just like writing songs. Oh boy.
I mean, that's that movie I loved it.
Why should I worry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Is there more?
Yeah.
Okay, I was waiting for more stuff. Hey,
that's all I have from 88.
Okay, cool. Hey, let's take a little break. We'll be back with more Christmas magic. All right, and we're back with Podcast The Ride, the very merry non-denominational holiday special. Let's step through a couple more moments from some of these holiday specials. Jason, I think you had one more to talk about.
Yeah, so just real quick, I watched the 1996 parade hosted by Suzanne Somers and Jerry Van Dyke.
And can I say...
Chemistry. If you had to define the word chemistry, it would be these two together.
Chemistry, you know, knowing what the other person you're on TV with is talking about, the two parts, ends of the conversation lining up and actually connecting.
Yeah.
I was like really upset that year to like, I loved Regis and Joan London so much. And then like, who are these people? And Jerry Van Dyke is so like strange and doddering. And I was like, I still have sour memories about this special. How dare you play it here?
This is also the year of the Cake Castle, I loved as a kid.
I also love the Cake Castle.
I don't like the Cake Castle.
So for those of you who don't know, for the anniversary of Disney World, they made the castle into a giant birthday cake. So it was a big pink monstrosity that looked like a cake or cupcake instead of the famous Cinderella castle. And Jason and I, as a boy, loved it. Many people hated it. It was gaudy. It was bizarre. It was strange. We went that year. And I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was great.
You ate up the cake.
I would have, because I
scarfed down a big slice of it.
If I could have taken a bite of it, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Jason tried and got thrown
I tried, did not
in
succeed.
Disney jail.
What your nightmares are about still.
So this clip, real quick, let me just make sure I have the right spot. Okay, so this is a gospel singer named Sandy Patty doing a little number in the parade. I'm gonna play it.
Fabulous Sandy Patty.
Yeah.
Remember the magic, remember the
right, we'll stop it there.
25 years of Disney magic.
Now, they're... What do you think they're standing on, singing Zippity-Doo-Dah?
A log? A giant Splash Mountain log?
Nope, she's standing on the Cinderella float, and a bunch of, like, royal, like, people are dancing. But here's what happens later in the parade.
For the winner now, with the showboat from Song of the South. Song of the South. Here it comes right now.
South. Song of the South.
South.
And here's Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Bear, and Br'er Fox on a big boat. So this is also weird to look at now, like Disney acknowledging Song of the South.
Yeah, because Song of the South, this old controversial movie, is always part of the parks with Splash Mountain, but they don't really like shove those characters out there. They don't make them such a strong part of
What I was going to say is that Jerry Van Dyke is the one who introduced the Song of the, and he screwed it up. Jerry Van Dyke is always cast as like a fuck up. He always is a guy who, like, he was that on when he was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and when he was on, I just watched a Mary Tyler Moore episode where Mary's dating Jerry Van Dyke, and he's like, he's a loser guy who tries to be a stand-up comedian, and he sucks. So Jerry Van Dyke, in real life, I think, is like a screw-up. That's like the whole thing, and then he proves it here in the Disney, unless he's trying to, you know, tie continuity together through all of his various roles throughout TV history.
Mm-hmm. As soon as the special was done, he walked out of the announcer's booth the wrong way. And fell down onto Main Street and cracked his head.
He got his head caught in a bucket of paint. Like, he was walking around, he couldn't. Then he tripped down some, yeah.
And ever since then, he's been talking to wooden horses and toasters, trying to get him in the bath. Jason, does that take us through the
1986? Yeah, that's all my stuff.
I flipped through that special as well, and you get a special sneak preview of the live-action Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians. Oh, wow. And there's this one part where they show you how baby puppies are made, and they pull an inanimate sort of foam rubber Dalmatian out of a mold, and it's one of the creepiest images I have ever seen. It was like kind of like birthing a like unpainted puppy fetus. It's
Jesus.
One of the most disturbing images. In keeping with the nightmare, I could have let that go and not talked about that foam puppy fetus, and yet I had to.
You felt compelled to.
It's in my brain, and I had to spread it to yours. I couldn't hold on to that memory.
No.
So I have one more. And after all of this depression, let me just play like the happiest thing that I could imagine. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to this one. Was put on the internet by our friend Doug Jones, aka Dante Fontana. And if after all this you're somehow still interested in clips from bizarre Disney holiday specials and other specials from all year round, Doug made these amazing mashup. Have you guys seen these things Doug's made? These like feature length. What are they called? Mouseketeers Escape to Splash Mountain and Golden Girls Return from Space Mountain. These are on Vimeo, wow. Or you can order them, I believe, as DVDs off of DanteFontana.com. Just a shout out. He made me aware of so many bizarre, wonderful moments from these Disney specials, including this one, which he's responsible for putting on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, a performance from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with special guest Alan Thicke. Looking at right now, and please do yourself a favor and look this one up. It is Alan Thicke dressed kind of like the Schwarzenegger in Terminator mode, with leather jacket and sunglasses, doing kind of a rap rock version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, while the Ninja Turtles do roundhouse flips around him and the like. And I won't play the whole thing, but you end up with slightly customized Ninja Turtles related lyrics, like "He sees you eat your pizza." it is a real delight.
I remember this, and this was a big deal, because I think this is the end of the special. Am I wrong? Or there's another Ninja Turtle appearance.
I can't imagine how they would top it.
Yeah, because they teased me for like an hour or two, and I remember just it killing me to wait to see the Ninja Turtles. And my memory, Alan Thicke has been erased from my memory. It's just the Ninja, I remember the Ninja Turtles, and they're with the party wagon, the turtle van.
Yes, yeah.
And it was thrilling.
to see them in one of my favorite places.
Pretending to kick nothing, kicking at the audience, which didn't register.
It's practice. If there were foot soldiers here, mm-hmm. consider them kicked in the face. I think Alan adds a lot to it. Please look this up. Please look up my other favorite Alan Thicke musical number, Sweaty and Hot, from the 1987 Aerobics Championships. It's a song that he wrote that's like a love song with gymnastics metaphors strung throughout. We're giving you a lot of homework on this one. Pablo Cruz, the many musical numbers of Alan Thicke, check them out. So there's our brief jaunt through the history of Disney holiday specials. There's more. We could save some for next year, or we could never discuss these again, because what a incredibly miserable area. If it's not the Ninja Turtles doing roundhouse flips and singing about...
Or Caribbean Chip and Dale.
Yeah, some of it is a pure delight, and some of it is a dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. But that's what's great. These specials are a fun grab bag, as has this episode been, apparently.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And now, to send off this holiday episode with a bang, we have come up with a segment called Holiday Overlay. Now, what we're going to do is we're each going to choose a ride that exists at any theme park across the world, and much like Disney does or Universal would do, we'll put a overlay on it related to, you know, Christmas or the holiday season.
Like temporary holiday retheming, a la the Haunted Mansion holiday that they do with Nightmare Before Christmas, or the Jungle Cruise becomes the Jingle Cruise.
Right.
That's been a recent thing. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
I have seen it. They put, like, Santa hats on the hippos. There's not much to it. That's really all it is.
They're not doing it this year.
But they're not doing it this year, right. But
so there's an example of a not successful one that they haven't kept up, but Small World Holiday, Haunted Mansion Holiday. Become treasured parts of the holidays at Disneyland.
At Halloween, they do Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy, where they project an evil space ghost that follows you around, mm-hmm. and it kind of lightly claws at you, and it's scary, and it's not much different, but it's fun. You know, it's fun to have a little bit of a change up on the rides. So we're each going to take a ride, and we're going to present what we think a holiday overlay for that ride would be. All right, so we're all familiar with the famous ride that is Avatar Flight of Passage. Mm-hmm. Okay, it just opened this year. It is in the Avatar Land, which is in Disney World, and it's the ride itself is like a simulator ride. And it's where you take part in the beautiful journey of becoming one with the mighty Akron, a.k.a. the Banshee, which are those flying creatures in the movie Avatar.
You don't need to tell us both of their names. Right. We all know.
I know. I know you guys know. I just want to, in case there's one person out there that doesn't know about flying majestically over the Moara Valley, you know?
The Hallelujah Mountains.
Yes, and take your place along the other Na'vi. So, get ready to experience Pandora in a whole new way with Avatar Flight of Passage Ho Ho Holiday. So here's the thing. Na'vi Santa Claus is really sick, like very sick.
No.
Okay. And he's not going to make the Christmas Forest Gift Festival, the name of which, you know, I can't pronounce because it's in Na'vi, but they'll come
a lot
up
of
with
apostrophes.
They'll come up with a better Na'vi name for it. So Na'vi Santa Claus has enlisted all of you to ride on the backs of the mighty Akron and deliver gifts for all the Na'vi boys and girls. So, you know, you give a leather groin cloth for little, and I put these in the Na'vi name generator. What would be Michael in Na'vi? Tsumukin would be my name. So, like, he gets that, or you get, like, a necklace that says, I see you, which is, of course, the famous line from Avatar. Again, I don't have to tell you guys, but we all know,
sure.
I see you is the famous thing that
Think
Na'vi say to
day.
Each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go over and you fill everyone's stockings with unobtainium, and you know, and you give cheer to everyone. So it's basically the same ride system. It's just that now you're distributing presents. And there'll also be some virtual reality gloves where you'll be able to, you know, throw presents at different things. So there'll be a point system as well. We're adding a mm-hmm. different, whole different element to this ride.
Who spread the most cheer, a.k.a.
Right.
Venarzin. They're the Na'vi word for cheer.
So you're taking the ride, and it's basically, you know, it's not going to be that expensive, but now you're adding another element to it that's super fun. And, of course, there's going to be an original song sung by Leona Lewis, who sung, of course, the very famous I See You the hit song from Avatar again.
Why are you even bothering to explain
it? I'm just in case there's one person out there that doesn't remember the detail from Avatar. Yeah. I know everyone mostly does.
It'd be like saying, you know, My Heart Will Go On from Titanic. These songs from James Cameron films are exactly equal.
Of course. Yes, they are. So, look, she sings a song, I See You, parentheses, at Navi Christmas. And that's the ride. And I think it would be a big hit.
And a happy new year.
And a happy new Navi New Year.
Oh, wow. So the ho-ho-ho holiday. What was it? The holiday. Rite
Avatar
of holiday passage?
Flight of Passage. I mean, we can workshop the title specifically, you know, to get maybe something that is maybe more Navi friendly. But that's the working title. Ho-ho holiday. Avatar Flight of Passage.
That's a blast. And, you know, they have the technology. They have the screen. It's easy to change that stuff out, like Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. Let's get that done next holiday season, Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, inject a little holiday spirit into Pandora. Jason, you want to do it, or I can go next?
Sure. Well, you know, we recorded this episode lately, so it's fresh on my mind, and I thought to myself, what better way to incorporate Christmas than a ride that already involves trees to some extent? So Dudley Do Right's Rips All Christmas, everyone. Okay? Dudley has to save Christmas. You change the story of the ride, and you want to talk about inexpensive? This is inexpensive. You just put a Christmas tree outfit over the Nell animatronics. You don't have to change anything. You put the Christmas tree outfit right over her, cut out a thing for her face. So it's like, oh, it's Nell, but she's also a Christmas tree somehow. And then you hang some balls throughout the ride. Maybe at some point there's a wild sound take of just Dudley going like, Merry Christmas, everyone, and the horse neighs.
So Snidely Whiplash is trying to kidnap a Christmas tree?
Yes, he's trying to kidnap one Christmas tree.
And he's tying one to the train tracks, a Christmas tree to the train tracks.
Yes.
You could very easily paint him, just give him a new hat and a new mustache, and then he's evil old Jack Frost.
Oh,
sure.
But, that's going to make the money go up a little bit.
That's going to make, yeah.
They will have to buy one new hat.
Yeah, you got to buy that new hat.
Or just paint it and repaint it. But paint costs money, too. Hey, I know you're trying to be budget conscious with this ride.
So, you know, this is just a quickie. You know, it's fun for the folks. It helps distract people from the fact that Florida is starting to get colder and they're on a water ride. So Dudley Do Right's Rips All Christmas. And maybe the horse has a little Santa hat, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I think
Why
they can
not?
Make that happen very easily.
Could you dye the water a Christmas color? Could it be a red or green or alternatingly both?
Could you freeze the water and have the raft slide on the ice?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Go faster.
Now, these ideas change the properties of the physics of the ride.
That's true.
It may not be scientifically literally possible, but hey, this is a blue sky brainstorming sesh. So,
sure.
And anything goes. That's delightful. Mine's a little bit. I'm going to do something that's it's a little more of a thinker. It might it's not necessarily you'll see. It's a bit of a grim situation, but it all works out in the end. I'm going to take a ride that has never really had any particular stakes to it or any story. It's just kind of a ride that puts along. You look at stuff passively, and I think it could use kind of a bigger sense of mystery or intrigue. I'm going to take you guys now on Submarine Voyage, Journey to the Sunken Pole. And the story here is that it's a future in which the polar ice caps have melted, and the rumor is that in those events, in the events of that tragedy, Santa's workshop and the entire North Pole compound where he works was buried and lost. Nobody has eyes on Santa's whereabouts or the elves or the reindeer. So we're going to board a submarine and we're going to submerge and we're going to see if we can find what happened to Santa's workshop. And like your attraction, this one can involve James Cameron. He's now in the Disney family with Avatar, and he's big into discovering exploring sunken remains like that of the Titanic.
He loves submarines.
He loves sunken remains.
So let's give him a shot to keep talking about it. He'd be your narrator on this journey, and it would, you know, for a while you'd just be submerging, and it would seem like, well, maybe we're never going to figure this out. Maybe we're never going to get there. Maybe we won't have any closure on this this North Pole burial. But then, hovering just above an iceberg, we see a little red and white weather vane shaped like a reindeer, and that's the up at the top of Santa's workshop cottage. So we know there we go. That's the proof. If we keep digging, so in the submarine, you blow a hole in the iceberg, and you go and you keep sinking, and you discover, oh my God, it is true. These are the remains of Santa's North Pole workshop, and it's a little bit upsetting, you know. You get a sense of the full depth of whatever occurred there when the ice caps in the avalanche, whatever it was that happened. You see errant candy canes and Christmas scarves and sweaters drifting around through the ice flow. You see unworn Santa suits and belts and boots, toys that could never find a home, dollies and little horses that that will never be given to a child. Now at this point, kids are upset, right? This isn't like kids are going to be.
I'm upset.
You all are both tearing up as I describe this ride. But I think it's important. It sheds a light on the ravages of global warming and what is happening to our Earth. To know that we could lose something as precious as Santa's workshop, and just when things seem the most grim, as we're arriving back at the port. The hatch opens up and a beam of sunlight comes in, and who should be there but a little old driver, so lively and quick. You know that he is Saint Nick. You hear his ho ho ho, and you discover, oh my God, Santa made it out in time. He made it out before the avalanche. Imagine you've been in that submarine. You think like things are as grim as they could ever be, but then you come back out, and oh my God, he made it. There's Santa. There's Mrs. Claus. There's all of the elves and all of the reindeer and old Rudolph himself. They made it out in time, and they moved Santa's workshop to the Canadian province of Nunavut, and. So Santa's workshop is up and running, and it's green now. They learned their lesson. It is now no longer a coal emitting workshop, and you get to celebrate with them and have a eat gingerbread cookies and share a candy cane, which is of course what Mrs. Claus makes. She makes the candy canes,
right,
if you
course.
Know the lore of. So it's I like this because it's a story with a lot of push and pull. Imagine the terror of thinking that Santa and all his friends have died, but discovering that they made it out and they're stronger than ever.
So the ride itself is just bleak. The ride itself, it feels like the ride portion of it just feels like it's a horrible nightmare.
Yeah.
And then when you get off the ride, then you're like, oh, everything's okay. But the ride itself is horrible.
The ride itself.
The ride itself
is,
when you're in
journeying through crumbling gingerbread houses.
Right.
And I mean, it's you can't deny it would be effective. It would stick with you. It would cause a conversation on the way home. It would make you talk about global warming and what's happening to our planet.
Like
I think it'd be more effective than the Inconvenient Truth films.
It's like touring a disaster site, basically.
Mm-hmm. Or going to Disney with an aging Art Carney.
the North Pole has frozen over just as his icy heart has. And that's sort of what's happened here. Look, I'm not saying it's fun, but what do they all have to be?
They don't. I mean, Lincoln is not fun at all. Great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
There's a precedent for depressing stuff in the parks. You learn about the Civil War. You learn about a family torn apart. So why not see a lot of elf workstations with no one filling them,
so
and
while,
toys that will never be given?
While I think your idea sounds just totally miserable, I do have to appreciate the lesson it's teaching the youth of today.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
And these are things, you know, Epcot Center teaches about what might be happening to our future. As we discussed universe of energy and its discussion of fossil fuels, you know, there are issues in the park and it's time to bring them back for the holidays. Make people realize that if we aren't careful this Christmas, there may not be another.
Hmm. That's something to think about.
Yeah. On all that right. note,
so Imagineers, journey to the sunken pole. So I think everybody's sold, right?
Yep, we're all sold.
Great.
Well, have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, everyone. Thank you so much
make
for listening.
It so happy. Hey, look, as we reach the end of the year here, just anybody who's listening, thanks so much for listening. And I hope other than this episode that you've had some fun and enjoyed yourself as we've taken you on this little podcast ride.
Thank you for all your nice comments on Twitter. Thank you for your iTunes reviews. They warm our hearts. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you have any questions, we'd like to do a mailbag episode at some point. So email us any questions you have about the parks. Or what have you? Anything?
Yes. Give us fodder to kill time with on this podcast.
For sure.
Thanks everyone at Feral Audio, and hey, it's been a blast. We'll see you not next year. We'll see you after Christmas. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
The normal thing.
Off.
All right. Yeah. You survive podcast the ride. Thanks.